You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Police chief of Fort Worth, Texas, is talking about something I don't understand. So here he is.
We obtained an arrest warrant after enough evidence and facts were analyzed and verified. A team of officers quickly effected his arrest at the office of his attorney. He was booked into the Tarrant County Jail, where his bond was set by the presiding magistrate. He has since posted bond. We're continuing to work closely with the Tarrant County Criminal District Attorney's Office to ensure this entire investigation is prosecuted in a thorough, meticulous, and solid manner. To the citizens and the residents of our city, we understand your frustration and disappointment. I, too, am frustrated and disappointed by what occurred and the officer's actions. We never want an officer's response to a call to end in the loss of life. We have a great many officers who work extremely hard every day, and they do this at great sacrifice and with a servant's heart. I ask you to please do not let the actions of one officer reflect on the other 1,700. There's absolutely no excuse for this incident, and the person responsible will be held accountable. Ms. Jefferson's family and our community will have the last word, and the courts will speak on her behalf. Each and every one of you have our support and our commitment to serve you better. We strive to be better every day than we were the day before. My prayer for Tatiana's family, our community, and our department comes from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 and 26. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I'll take some questions.
Chief, the Jefferson family says that they want reforms in what they see as a brutal police culture. Chief, what needs to change at the Fort Worth Police Department?
As the city manager alluded to yesterday, we're looking at bringing in an independent third party group to come in and evaluate our policies, our practices, and our training to ensure that we are above best practice standards.
This is a Fort Worth woman shot in her home, and I don't get all the particulars behind it. But this is crazy, man. This is crazy. I don't get it. You know, we've talked on the program about the way you train and responding to a call, and I don't know. Either there's details that have been left out, or what the hell, man. But if this, if what people are saying is true, and she was in her house, unarmed in her house, and she was watching TV. So I like, somebody help me. What don't I understand about that story? So again, I just, you know, it's like during the video, of the cop at a pool party, you know, and he just like loses his shit, you know, and there's teenagers there, and you're just watching it going like, what the hell is going on? Right? What the hell is going on? And so, anyway, is it the training? Is it somebody, you know? Is it something else? Did they have a relationship? And, you know, so again, this police officer has resigned, and now being charged. And so I watched it, you know, I was curious to hear what the police chief would say. I don't know. It's just, he was arrested last night at 6 o'clock, posted bail 3 hours later, held on $200,000 bond. Police declined to say whether Dean was arrested by a Fort Worth police officer or if he turned himself in. Mayor Betty Price said there's no excuse for what happened. Police responded to Jefferson's house around 2:25 a.m. Saturday after a concerned neighbor noticed her doors were open in the middle of the night. The neighbor, James Smith, told the Fort Worth Star-Telegram he called a non-emergency police number for a safety check. He said he was worried because he knew Jefferson was at home with her nephew. Officers searched the perimeter of Jefferson's house and saw a person standing inside the residence near a window. In a heavily edited body camera video, which I have not seen, released by the police, Dean can be seen pointing his weapon at the window and yelling, "Put your hands up, show me your hands." He does not identify himself as a police officer. 2 seconds later, he fires through the window. So you're standing in your house by a window and somebody shines a light and starts yelling at you and then they shoot you and kill you. Police said in a statement Saturday that he had perceived a threat and that officers provided medical care after the shooting. Moments later, she died in her bedroom in her own home with her 8-year-old nephew nearby. What the fuck, man? Yeah, and again, you know, we talked on the program about the kind of training police officers get and that you have to have, you know, they have to have time to train and you got to be able to put them in under stress in controlled situations. And so they can, you know, you can test to see if they're doing the right thing. And I mean, this is nowhere under, I mean, unless there's pieces missing. There's a door open, right? The situation is unclear. There's a report that the door is open and nothing else. And then you kill an unarmed woman in her own bedroom? Jesus. Good God, man. I mean, that's absolutely, I didn't even know what to say, you know? Absolutely off. I mean, this is, you know, do you remember the, I don't know if he's gone to trial yet, but I think he has. Has he been sentenced? The police officer in Minneapolis who shot the Australian woman? And he pulled his gun. He fired in front of his partner, across his partner's chest, while they were both in the car, shot her in the abdomen as she walked up to the car because she had heard noises in the alley, and the police car rolled, you know, into the alley and stopped. She saw the police car, walked up to it. He pulls his gun in the car, discharges it in front, like across the face of his partner, shoots her in the abdomen and kills her. What the fuck? So I don't know. You know, is it people that are terrified that can't handle that job, and that's instead of in an uncertain situation where somebody, you know, it isn't registered to you that somebody might be, you know, in that house, that there was a call because I don't know. Police officers, you know, it's a hard job, especially in urban cities with high crime rates, because they're violent places with deadly people there. And every day they go out and they put their lives at risk, you know, to keep everybody safe. You know, but again, if shooting through a woman in her bedroom, I can hear General Mattis, first do no harm. First do no harm. And when you're that unsure, when you're 90% unsure, and there's no perceived threat, then back the fuck up. I'm looking for the story about the woman. And if he was sentenced, he was, in April. Minneapolis police officer convicted of murder in shooting of Australian woman. For nearly 2 years, Minneapolis has waited for the answer . Well, New York Times just said I had to pay for the article. Sorry about that. Police officer was sentenced to 12 and a half years for murder. Muhammad Noor, who's Somali, I knew in an instant I was wrong, as he addressed the court prior to sentencing. Convicted by a Minnesota jury of third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter in the 2017 death of Justine Damon, 40-year-old dual citizen of the United States and Australia. He's a two-year veteran of the police department, shot her while she approached a squad car in an alley behind her home moments after she called 911 to report a possible sexual assault. He testified that he had heard a bang on the driver's side of the squad car and thought Damon was a threat. She's a life coach who was visiting her fiancé. She had already taken his last name, Damon. So, again, you know, you read these things, and it's I would love to read. I haven't seen anything because, I got sensitized to that story. You know, because the other one was the shooting of the black guy in his car. I think that guy was Minneapolis-St. Paul. I'm not sure which one. But, you know, and you can hear on the video him screaming and losing his shit. And the guy's saying, hey, man, you know, and he gets pulled over for a traffic stop, and the guy smokes him. Doesn't have a gun in his hand. He's telling the guy, I've got a gun. Man, I'm carrying a gun. And the guy winds up dead. You know, so you see these stories. So what's the effect? Do people stop calling the police? saying, I don't want, I don't need that. I don't need them to come here and do stupid shit. I don't know. I mean, you read it and you're like, how do you get there? Now, there's an incident in my hometown, Sacramento, where two police officers, somebody breaking and entering cars, and the helicopter's tracking them, and the officers respond, and they're in the backyard, and he's closing on them. And he's got something shiny in his hand, and he goes to bring it up, and they shoot him. Now, I think that's fundamentally different. You know, you're telling them to stop. You've identified yourself as cops. And they have something in their hand, and it's dark, and they point it, they begin to raise it towards you. You know, and yeah, it's confusing, but I mean, I can see that. And this is you're being told from the helicopter, this is the dude that was breaking into those cars, blah, blah, blah. But this thing has none of those elements other than it was dark. So, anyway. Dallas Fort Worth, man, amazing. But again, and then when we talked about it, we were talking about creating regional training centers. But the problem with that is you have to have enough ass on your police force, which means extra officers, so that you can support training days. Yeah, so you have to have a shift devoted to, you guys are gonna work, they're gonna roll the training, which costs money. Which, you know, the city may or may not want to spend. Most of the time does not want to spend, because the most, significant part of policing, community policing, is the cost anyway, is the personnel. So, and you get higher and higher rates of turnover. You've seen the suicide rate among police officers. So, anyway, I was up till 2 o'clock doing accounting last night. 2:15, I think. Yeah, I struggle with it, man. I'm not going to lie to you. For all you accountants out there, God bless you. But I'm learning. I thought I was close to being done, and then I had a bit of a setback. Yeah. I was working in QuickBooks. Now, let me tell you how this works. So, you put a transaction into QuickBooks, right? It then goes to this bin, this general bin, if you will, that you review it. Okay. So after it's in, right, then you kind of categorize it and do all the things you do with the transaction. And boom, it's in your books. Now, if you delete it from your books, it goes back to this general bin. Okay. Now, if you're a smart guy like me, you notice a thing called rules, that you can have a rule. And when your transactions download on a monthly basis, on a daily basis, the rule gets applied. And so if you have something that says McDonald's in it, right, and you spell McDonald's and you put that in the rule, anything that says McDonald's goes under this expense category. It goes in under food, right? And so I don't even have to mess with it. Streamlines my own, the time I spend on my books. All right. Okay. So here's a nuance to that. When you're going through old data and you're deleting multiple transactions, okay, because what I screwed something up. When I inducted the transactions for 2016 and 2017, because I couldn't get them out of my bank account, so I had to download statements. I had to put those into spreadsheets, save that, put the spreadsheets into, then induct them into QuickBooks. Well, I duped it, okay? Unknowingly duped it, okay? So then I have multiple transactions. So I'm deleting them, and now everything's kind of falling in place. I'm deleting, the multiple transactions, and I'm all excited. I get out of it. I come back to it, and they're back. What the hell, man? Then I did it again. And, oddly enough, I didn't get pissed. I wasn't real pissed. I was like, what is going on? I didn't know that when you delete it out of the register or you delete the expense from your books, it goes back into the bin. The rule automatically gets reapplied in the bin and it sticks it back into the account. Yeah, it's like some kind of Three Stooges fucking event. But I don't know. Like, I'm the stooge. I don't know about it. Yeah. I need to finish a thought from yesterday. And that is the whole concept of the DOD approach to treating trauma, PTSD, and the post-traumatic winning approach to treating, to dealing with trauma. Okay. And I said all that yesterday, and then I forgot to deliver the punchline. The punchline is this. I would very much be interested in your thoughts on that. Right? And so if you didn't listen yesterday, the VA approach to me is how to help you better endure that which you bear. Okay, to help you endure what's going on. And the way they do that is by, you know, essentially by prescribing medications and by sending you to some kind of talk therapy. That's what they do. And the vision they offer you is we're gonna help you endure this. So, and the vision of post-traumatic winning doesn't have anything to do with endurance. It has everything to do with transformation and transcending above that. Okay. So if I could, in my own ignorant way, you know, the VA and the DOD is a Freudian approach. They're going to treat the symptoms. They're going to try to get you to modify your behavior. Right. Post-traumatic winning approach, unbeknownst to me, is that which is espoused by Viktor Frankl in his, you know, in his logotherapy, logo Greek for meaning. And that if you can assign as a human, if you can assign meaning to your suffering, then you can change your life with that. So what I'm curious, so in the visual that I have, the way I articulate this and the way I want to articulate this, an F-18 man is helping me. And that is, you know, you're essentially an airplane flying through a storm. And that storm is the turbulence that come with traumatic events in your life. Right. And someday that storm is really hard, full of high winds, you know, full of, you know, heavy rain, dark clouds, right? And your little Cessna is bombing through that, right? Getting rocked. You know, and then some days the weather is not as bad, right? It's still out there, you know, but someday, and you're flying that plane. And that's as good as it gets with the VA and the DOD. And that's why they'll never ever change with that approach. They won't change, fundamentally they won't change their results. What post-traumatic winning discovered through Luke and Libby is the power of giving, right? Which ultimately touching other people and changing their lives gives your suffering meaning, okay? So link that to Frankl, but in an ignorant way. Like nobody knows Frankl even exists. We're just doing it, right? And all of a sudden there's this epiphany. Me growing and understanding and better enduring, that isn't enough. That isn't even close. The true secret, the true drug is the drug of giving, is the drug of, which is the drug of transformation, which is the best drug you could ever take. Okay, now, so I did a longer winded version of that yesterday. So what I want is, and I called Nancy. Nancy's a chaplain. She's formally trained, right? Nancy, Shithole Weather Nancy, from Western Pennsylvania, Erie, PA, home of the wonders. So I talked to Nancy yesterday, and I said, Nancy, am I wrong about you know, this, I'm curious about your approach, because I always, when I go down these roads, when I go down these roads of what I consider moderately independent thought, or sometimes groundbreaking thought, I'm always waiting for, yo, stupid, have you looked at this? Do you not understand this? And I don't like to have that experience in public. So what I'm curious about, for those of you who listen, is what are your thoughts about that? Does that make sense to you? Because I know it's what happens in real life. Nobody has to say, well, Mac, you know, that's not true. My response to that is, bullshit, it is true. Because I live it every day. It happened to me 3 times again yesterday, to include once after midnight. Yeah, no shit. No shit. Marine heard from another Marine that he's no longer even in the Marine Corps, that I'm going to do it for a unit, and he's flying to see it. He's a civilian now. They said, yeah, come. Bought a ticket, flying to see it. Like, are you shitting me? No, I'm not shitting you. And then 2 other incidents yesterday. So I live the power, but I'm curious what you think. If you have any thoughts on it, so you can shoot me an email, live.allmarineradio@gmail.com, and give me your thoughts on this issue, right? I just don't see the VA approach, the DOD approach to dealing with people with trauma as, you know, we'll give you a better drug. We'll give you we'll send you to group. We'll send you to, you know, talk to a therapist. That's as good as my life's going to get. That's what you're going to offer me? That sucks, man. That is no bueno. That is no bueno. So anyway, I'm looking for intellectual input. So if you have thoughts about that, please don't hesitate. So anyway, today on the program, you're going to hear from a retired Marine who's written a book. And his name is Ted Studdard. And Ted enlisted in the Marine Corps Reserve. Yeah, he's a Stinger guy. And if it flies, it dies, except nothing ever is in the sky above us. So, like, what do those dudes do all the time? They're like the Maytag repairmen of the Marine Corps. Air defense. Have been attacked did we get attacked in Vietnam? No. Did we get attacked in Korea from the sky? Ground units? Not that I ever heard of. So, World War II, did we get attacked from the sky? Well, the Navy did. Did Marines? Ever? Guadalcanal? I just don't recall reading a whole lot of situations where Marines talking about how terrifying it is to be attacked from the air. So anyway, I'm Marine Air Defense. Okay. You guys get a lot of sleep? What do you do, man? You guys got good sleeping bags? Good. Oh, yeah. Our isomats and cots. They're awesome. So anyway, Ted enlisted that in the reserves. And then gets commissioned, becomes an artillery officer. And talks about his career in the Marine Corps, and then transitioned to work for Home Depot. So talk about getting out, and talk about his career getting out, and then he wrote a book, yeah, called Depot to Depot. And you'll enjoy it. It's a great interview about getting out and about a lot of things that we talk about. Questions like, how much time did we, you know, give people advice? You can spend time networking, or you can spend time on your resume. And that's 100% of your time as you transition, okay, for the sake of discussion. Give me percentages that you would assign, because some people spend a shit ton of time on a resume, okay? Next, your military experiences. How much I got told in 2015, you know, by guys who'd already gotten out, don't talk about your combat experiences. Even if they ask, do not talk about it because they don't understand it. And if you wax eloquent about your time and pick a shithole, then that's what's going to get communicated, and it's going to be people that don't understand and find that all intimidating. Another question. Are people intimidated by the word Marine in the civilian workplace? Answer, they can be. And so, and his answer is interesting. Question. Do civilians, are they motivated by the same thing Marines are relative to leadership? And you'll hear his answer to that. So, and all the proceeds of the book go to charities. I want to say Marine Corps Education Foundation, you know, and so Ted split the proceeds of it. But the book is called Depot to Depot. And it's a cool interview. You'll enjoy it. So that's, you'll hear him today. So we'll check the news, and then you'll hear Ted Studdard, Depot to Depot. He's an arty guy, and he gets wire brushed for it, but he takes it like a man. I'll say that for him. Ted takes it like a man, so we respect that. All right. The United States Marine Corps band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. About the NBA shit from, I don't know, about six different people. Mac, have you seen this? So before we do the news, we're going to get to the NBA, right? And honestly, how the fuck has nobody called this bullshit out for what it is? Right? Sellout bullshit dancing chicken nonsense. The NBA is China's dancing chicken right now, right? How do you make the chicken dance? Oh, we heat up the metal. That's how. What? Oh, you think the chicken knows how to dance? The chicken doesn't know how to dance. Yeah, there's a flame underneath that little stage, right? Yeah. We turn a burner on underneath that, and that's why the chicken's dancing like that. What? Yeah. So we'll get to this. Honestly, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's dedicated to a Marine I don't even know yet, who bought a ticket to come see post-traumatic winning. So, and the people that talked to him, the person who talked to him, that influenced him to come, and that's going to happen in a few weeks. So, and that's the power of transformation. As opposed to endurance. And you know, well, geez, that's pretty crazy, buying a ticket. No, it's not. Not if you know what it's like to be underneath the clouds in that shit. And somebody's told you that, you know what? There's a joystick out there, right? That can take your airplane higher than the artificial ceiling that joystick has on it. You can't pull yours back far enough. There's another one, though, with unlimited ceiling. Yeah. And so when you hear that, right, when you hear that as a person, How intoxicating is that? And how much hope does that give you? And again, you're hearing it like, it would be like my company Gunny telling me that, right? It would be like my company Gunny telling me that. I've told you the power of what he told me because I had so much respect for him. And then I just took, you're never going to get over this, to the bank, and how much it's helped me over the course of years. Imagine him looking at me and saying, I've got something that you need to know. What? Right. I know people that change people's lives to deal with this shit all the time. What? Yeah. All the time. They're Marines. I want you to meet them. What's the answer? Okay. That's how powerful this stuff. So this is dedicated to a Marine from 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. All right. A couple of Marines. One's current, one's former. All right. Who are going to get their lives changed, and one who's going to facilitate the lives of getting changed. And then the coolest part is what happened. And this is what happened to me last night at midnight. Right? I get an email. Hey, Mac, I've got this guy, and he's struggling, and I'm helping, but I don't want to screw it up. You know? And my response to that was, so I'd like to talk to you. And it's midnight for me. It's 3 in the morning for this dude. Response, call me, motherfucker. So phone rings. He's like, what are you doing up? I said, what am I doing up? What the fuck are you doing up? I'm studying. All right. What am I doing up? I'm doing accounting. He goes, oh, shit. I'm like, exactly. Fucking accounting. And so this is Luke. Luke is the first person. No, well, I should say that. He's not the first person I helped. Luke is Libby's son, okay? Libby is Tsunami Woman. Libby is the woman who taught me about giving. Her email to me, or our conversation on the phone, saying no, she said, no, you don't understand what you did. And I went like, huh? Yeah, Luke belongs to Libby. All right. So anyway, Luke and I are talking, and you know, he said, you know, I don't want to screw it up or anything. I'm like, dude, you can't screw it up, right? It just starts with a conversation. There is no blueprint. I said, so if you figure out how to not fuck it up, let me know, okay? Because there's no script, man. All you're doing is you're helping. There is no one answer to it, and you're having a conversation, and the coolest part is you're going to ease their pain. And trust me, they're not shy about it because they're looking for help. And the places they've gone and the people they've spoken to are the exact same places we've gone, and they're the exact same people that we've spoken to, and that shit doesn't fucking work. And they know it, and we know it. And so when they hear people that have struggled say, hey, could I talk to you? You know what the answer is? Yeah, you can talk to me. So Luke and I have a conversation about just talking to people about it. I said, dude, I just let it rip. And they are beyond being a sponge for it, right? Right? And so my life. Yeah, that was the third event of the night. And maybe there would have been a fourth one, but I went to bed at 2. What the hell? So anyway, I called Furness. Furness tells me he gets up and goes to the gym at 4:30. So it's 2 o'clock, which means it's 5, which means he's up. I call. He doesn't answer. Now, he's probably going to tell me, oh, I was already in the gym. I'm like, yeah, bullshit, man. The gym between the sheets of your bed. So anyway, so this is dedicated to that, all right? Personified today by a Marine who's out of the Marine Corps who's going to fly to see it, right? Which gives you some indication of the desire for help, right? And the need that's out there. And to somebody else who's listened and who changes lives, right, on a weekly basis. And he can't get enough of it, trust me. So With that said, here you go.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that low-paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, Infant Soldier Infantry, Young Soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran, but you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win.
What happened? I think he was going to say we gotta win. Right? Hold on. Let me get there. It ain't there. It might be like right here.
We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot.
Let me just tell you, that was me on a slider bar swagging that thing.
We have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult challenges.
That was straight up magic right there.
Win. We got to win.
That's where it came from, post-traumatic winning. We have to win as a culture. All right? Not sure who wrote that for Neller, but that was good shit. All right. The weather. Sunny at 60. Oh, that's where I am. I was going to say, Quantico, sunny at 68 right now. Lejeune, sunny 73. Fall is falling. Right? Halfway to November. And 29 Palms, sunny in 66, fall coming to the desert. Pendleton, sunny 58. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy in 73. Okinawa, dark cloudy and 77 as storm conditions subside around Japan and the island of Okinawa. In Ramadi, evening cloudy and 86. Lashkar Gah in the Helmand province. It is evening clear in 66, so cooling off in Afghanistan. And at the home of All Marine Radio, it is 60 degrees under sunny skies. Looking for a high of 81 today. All right, that's a look at your weather. Do I want to take a break? I don't think so. I don't think we're taking a break. Yeah, how about that? So let me read you a couple stories. About the NBA thing. And what, and so nobody in American media has crawled up anybody's ass in a big way. Nobody's called out LeBron James and the NBA and the stars that were over there, right? And let me tell you what's funny. They're pissed because they believe that the NBA put them, oh shit, man. I've got to, you know what, I keep forgetting to do shithole weather. Right? I have too much in my head. From Webster, Mass, right? Chris, it's 6,949 miles from Marine Corps Air Station Iwakuni, Japan. My first full legitimate duty station. The guys in the class a week before me all went to Kaneohe Bay for 3 years. Enough said. Current conditions in, I think, Webster, right? Because he reports on different places around Webster. 46 degrees Fahrenheit, winds out of the northwest at 6. Skies are clear. Expected temperature to hit 60 today. What a great day to be in New England. Chris from Webster, Massachusetts, out. It's supposed to rain in New York City. Yeah. Supposed to rain there. On a terrific fall Tuesday in Pleasantville, PA, an hour's drive from Erie. It's currently sunny and 46 degrees heading to 61. Winds out of the west at 7. Have a great day. And from our correspondent in Montana, the only furrier who listens to the show, furrier or farrier, I'm not sure which, Big Timber, Montana. Sunny and 28 degrees. Woo! Winds are light out of the west southwest. Nice. That's right. Keep your coat. The, yeah, that's awesome, man. That is awesome. Yeah, I don't know how I got to set some kind of visual reminder to do shithole weather. What that's indicative of is there's a shiny object in front of me. Yeah, sadly. Right? That's how dogs get hit by cars. This is from the LA Times. This is how crazy this story is, okay? James criticizes Maury, Lakers stars. The Rockets GM didn't fully think through the consequences of his tweet on the protests in Hong Kong. And then supposedly the players had a very heated meeting with the commissioner of the NBA while they were in China. Now, I'm not sure if they're still there. But if a player had done this kind of damage to the relationship of the NBA and China, right? The NBA would have been all over the player. But because Morley's in management, nothing was done. And that the players felt that they got put in a shitty situation. Now let me translate that. This is going to cost me money and I ain't happy about it. I ain't happy about it. Okay, so I'm going to read you a couple articles. This is the one from the LA Times. Lakers star LeBron James. This is written by Tanya? Oh, Farrier with an A, not Furrier. Furrier is something that skins animal. A farrier shoes horses or animals. Tanya Ganguly, all right, writes the story. Lakers star LeBron James believes Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey was misinformed on what the reaction would be to the since-deleted tweet he sent in support of protesters in Hong Kong. Quote, "I'm just talking about the tweet itself," James said. "You never know the ramifications that can happen. And we all seen what that did. Not only did for our league, but for all of us in America, for people in China as well. And sometimes you have to think through things that you say that may cause harm not only to yourself, but for the majority of the people. I think that's just a fine example." Like what? James spoke at Staples Center on Monday before the first of two home exhibitions this season, both against the Golden State Warriors. It was the first time he had spoken to reporters since leaving the United States to play two exhibitions in China. Shortly after making his statements, James took to Twitter to offer clarification. That's right, because people said, "You're bullshit, motherfucker." Okay, so now I'm going to leave that article and go to an article in something that comes out of the South China Sea. And then I'm going to read you something that was in Rolling Stone magazine, right? Which is a straight up lib event. Right. So the story recounts like the general situation, right? This is written for consumption in the region. Okay. One angry fan tweeted at NBA, "What the heck? In support of communism, I see. ? I hope the fans protest the NBA this year. Greed obviously is the root of all evil. And when I thought the NBA stood for something more than money, I was proven wrong by your actions," at King James. So addressing it to LeBron James. Here's another one. Here, another posted, "This is a disgrace. I'm surprised that people like LeBron James would play in a country with so many human rights violations. The NBA is all about money." A third wrote, at King James, "Hiding from the media because of #ChinaMoney. Coward." A fourth said, quote, "Where is LeBron James with this whole China disaster? Nowhere to be found. Undereducated and the biggest fraud in a long time." It gets worse, man. It gets worse. Several other NBA players and coaches not in China. Now this is a UK publication writing on, you know, events in the region. That writes on events on a daily basis. Several other NBA coaches and players not in China have been asked about the recent controversy. Golden State Warrior head coach Steve Kerr pleaded ignorant of the whole story, with Steph Kerr taking a similar route. Quote, "It's a really bizarre international story," Kerr said. What? No, the Loch Ness Monster, that's fucking bizarre, man. Okay, communism and extortion, right? And you being a dancing chicken while saying that you stand for something, okay? That's, right? That's bullshit. That's a fraud. And Steve Kerr's a smart guy. But you're messing with money, right? My moral courage stops at the doorsteps to my bank. Steph Curry, a lot of us don't know what to make of it. It's something I'm reading about like everybody else is. I'm just not going to comment. Okay? So, now, from the Rolling Stone magazine, right? Daryl Morey did the right thing, dash, at first. In a Friday night tweet that he has since deleted, the Houston Rockets general manager expressed support for the legions of protesters who have taken to the streets in Hong Kong. The demonstration started as a protest against the new Chinese, blah, 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 blah. All right? The NBA has long known as perhaps the most free-thinking, outspoken league when it comes to politics of its players. Just last week, the governor of California signed a controversial bill into law on a television show hosted by LeBron James, arguably the league's most visible player, right? And that had to do with college athletes making money, right, and profiting from endorsements. Signed it on LeBron James, you know, TV show that he broadcast someplace. However, the problem for Morley is that the Chinese also love basketball. And thanks surely to the stardom of former Rocket great Yao Ming, now the head of the Chinese Basketball Association, Houston trailed only Golden State in popularity in the nation in a recent study. There appears to be too much money to be made in China for the NBA to stand up for human rights. Yao himself responded to Morley's tweet with condemnation, calling it, quote, an inappropriate comment related to Hong Kong. And the Chinese Basketball Association suspended its exchange and cooperation with the Rockets. Chinese sportswear maker Ni Ling did the same, suspending its association with the team. The Chinese government also weighed in via its consulate, saying that it was deeply shocked by the tweet. Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta quickly disowned Morley's comment. Listen, at D. Morley does not speak for the Houston Rockets. Our presence in Tokyo is all about the promotion of the NBA internationally, and we are not a political organization. At ESPN. So making sure ESPN says, our presence in Tokyo. Does Tillman Fertitta know that Tokyo is not in China? Do you think? I'm not sure. Our presence in Tokyo. Yeah, bro, Tokyo's in Japan. Anyway, now, again, Rolling Stone, man, this is a lib event. The Rockets and the NBA could have stood up for Morey, for decency, and for the protesters and their human rights. More than 2,000 have been injured in months of demonstrations that the Chinese government characterized as riots, but selling sneakers, jerseys, and the game. But they instead folded, all too eager to hold on to the dollars that they glean from a communist nation. The NBA issued a sorry statement declaring the league realized that the tweet may have deeply offended Chinese fans and that they have great respect for the history and culture of China, as if that had anything to do with the bill with a bill that could be used to disappear journalists and critics of the autocratic regime. Morey, who Ringer reports was at one point in jeopardy of losing his job, tweeted his own apology that read like it was dictated from his boss. Brooklyn Nets owner Joe Tsai, a co-founder of a Chinese e-commerce conglomerate, Alibaba, published an open letter on Facebook that referred to protesters as a separatist movement. Even James Harden, the Rocket star guard, issued a mea culpa for some reason, even though he wasn't involved. This last bit of rank submission to an autocratic regime captured the full extent of the NBA's sellout to China. Several politicians on the left and the right, including presidential candidate Justin Castro, Senator Ben Stassi from Nebraska, called out the NBA's cowardice. Even Rockets fan Ted Cruz took a principled stand, and it goes through their tweets, which are amazing. And I read you this, right, to get to this paragraph. For all its Martin Luther King Day T-shirts and other symbolic gestures towards wokeness, here in the States, this is still the league that sees fit to do business with a regime that represses human rights whenever given the chance. The league even has a presence in Xinjiang, in the northwest of the country. It is the Chinese region where Slate reported that last year the nation's authorities were holding roughly 1 million Muslims, the Turkic-speaking Uyghurs, in concentration camps. The NBA has a different kind of camp there, one of the three national training camps in the capital. Okay, now, back to the LA Times story. If I can find it. Where the hell did it go? Here it is. All right. Now, so all that happened, he came home and he said, you know, if he would have realized the gravity, blah, 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 blah. So then, right, Twitter unleashes on his ass. King James, right? And he tweeted the following, quote, "Let me clear up the confusion." Dude, there is no confusion, all right? You come from a league that celebrates diversity, freedom, and stands up for oppressed people in the United States when you stand up to white men, okay? But where's Colin Kaepernick? He's gone. Where is the Nikes? Stand up for something even if it means losing everything. Where is that? Oh, that stops at my bank account, bro. Right? And I've got a good bank, and there's a lot of steps, so it's not like I'm going to let you get close to my money, right? Let me clear up the confusion. I do not believe there was any consideration for the consequences and ramifications of the tweet. I'm not discussing the substance. Others can talk about that. My team in this league just went through a difficult week. I think people need to understand that a tweet or statement can do to others, and I believe nobody stopped and considered what would happen. Could have waited a week to send it. Oh, it's the timing of it. Dude, do you have anything to say about the substance of it? Goes on. I don't want to get into a verbal feud with Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand. This is his quote on Monday. And so many people could have been harmed not only financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful about what we tweet and what we do. Even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there can be a lot of negative that comes with that too. Unbelievable. Right? This is from Rick Scott, Senator from Florida. Among those who tweeted after they saw LeBron James's tweet with Senator Rick Scott. Clearly, @KingJames is the one who isn't educated on the situation at hand. It's sad to see him join the chorus of those kowtowing to communist China and putting profits over human rights for #HongKong. I was there 2 weeks ago. They're fighting for freedom and the autonomy they were promised. Not my money. It's amazing, though. Where's the moral outrage of the American media? Where is that? Did I miss that? Yeah, I guess I did miss. I guess I did miss that. Right? Unbelievable. LeBron James, China's dancing chicken. All right, now we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll do some news headlines, and then you're going to hear from Ted Studdard. We're going to talk about his book, Depot to Depot. And so don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio on a Tuesday, right, as I get fired up to do more accounting today. Coming up next, right here on your home for it, the accounting headquarters of All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the...
You know, I use that audio now in post-traumatic winning. Yeah, I do. What does damage sound like? I'm good, but I don't sleep at night. You can call me anytime. Don't you sleep? No, man, I'm doing accounting at 2:30 in the morning. 2:30 in the morning. It doesn't bother me. I'm good, but I got an anger problem. I'm good, but that's what damage sounds like, right? So I clipped a little bit of that, and I said, you know, I don't like much the VA does, but this whoever did this, spot on. That's what damage sounds like.
Veteran or service member in your life, if you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and soak in the ache of this heartbreak. I wanna drive
Peyton Davis. Hey, Mac, what are you going to do when post-medic winning blows up? What am I going to do? I'm going to lay the fucking wood to everybody. That's what I'm going to do. That's right. Yeah. Now, you know what? What am I going to do? I'll be in Happy Land, man. I'll be in Happy Land, rolling around Happy Land, trying not to get pissed. Yeah, because, like, I'll still be, like, angry person. I'll still have that inside me. But, like, my anger will just be overcome by so much goodness that you can't help but be a happy person. Yeah, no shit, man. So, and let me tell you, it happens so much to me now, it's just fucking crazy. Yeah, like, after midnight, which is when my tribe, like, is rolling around doing shit, right? Hey, you know, I don't want to screw this up. Right? Sends that at 3 in the morning his time. Thinking that I'm going to be asleep, right? And then I'll hear from me in the morning. And he gets back. Call me, motherfucker. I love that shit. Because it's okay to hurt, man. But it's a whole lot better to rescue somebody from that black shit. In Churchbred, Saskatchewan, right, as well as Minot, Churchbred is 36 degrees Fahrenheit with winds out of the north at 11. Minot's at 37 with winds out of the northwest at 14. Afternoon high for both communities under cloudy skies will be 37 degrees Fahrenheit. Both locations are looking forward to sunshine and a warmer day tomorrow when most of that snow ought to melt. Yeah, that snow's not going to stay around. Or if it does, man, it's going to be like an epic winter. Yeah, and after post-traumatic winning blows up and, like, people want to get identified now, the only entertainer that gets identified as post-traumatic winning, P. Davis, man. All right, a few headlines, and then you'll hear from Tim Studdard. And we're going to talk about transitioning. And you know, as I've learned a lot about this and what veterans, you know, ask and look for, you know, you're going to hear me ask him about, because we recorded the interview last night, about things like, you know, if they ask you about, were you in Iraq and Afghanistan, what do you say? You're going to hear me ask him about, you know, at what point did you start making a plan? And I think you'll find that interesting, because this whole concept of planning and you know, how you do it. Let me tell you what one of the things I say in post-traumatic winning about the whole veteran victim narrative, right? I say, fuck that. So you're part of the less than 1% with special DNA that serves, right? But you can't go find a fucking job? Like, give me a fucking break, man. If you work half as hard at getting out as you worked at getting in, you'll do more than okay. And I know that because I just saw my son do it. Okay? Patrick. Okay? Now, if I describe Patrick for you as a kid, I would not describe a whirling dervish of a human being, okay? Patrick works at his own pace, and I'll be gracious, okay? Except when he's motivated to do something. Then he's pretty good, right? Well, he was motivated to get out and get a good job, and he worked at it. He worked on his resume, and I'll tell you what he really worked hard at was networking. And he's continued to do that. And so I watched my kid do it. And let me tell you, because it's not easy. When you, for instance, when he got out of college, he's trying to get a work, and he's trying to get a job in Orange County or San Diego County. Well, if you're trying to get a career-type job, even at the entry level, there's people all over the country that you're going to compete with to work in San Diego County for a decent company. They open up a sales position. They open up this. They open up that. Unless you want to take a very, very entry-level position, right? You're going to compete on a national basis. The same thing with Washington, D.C. And so, the whole veteran victim thing is bullshit. You know, if you think they're going to kick down your door and beg you to come work for them, that ain't happening. But if you get off your ass and you work half as hard at getting out as you work at getting in, they want what you have. But you got to get out there and you got to package it. You got to get in front of them. You got to know what to do, which means you got to talk to other veterans. How do I do this? How do I speak? What do I do? Will they be intimidated of me? Answer, yeah. They might. Some certainly will. He's a Marine. Oh, shit. Here we go. Yep, got to call the XO, see what the fire team's doing for chow tonight. Yeah, you might not want to talk like that, shithead. But anyway, that whole veteran victim thing. On one hand, you're part of the 1% that serves, less than 1% that serves. That's how special your DNA is. And let me tell you, I believe that too. The DNA, Marine Corps DNA, off the hook. Yeah, with a chip on its shoulder, off the fucking hook, to this day. In fact, it even might be more unique today because now the culture that they go to is so different from the culture they came from. And you got to be straight up, got to screw loose to join the Marine Corps today, coming from the culture that young people are a part of, which means that those are the ones you want. They're the gifted ones. So, anyhow, I forgot the point I was making, but it was a good one nonetheless. All right. A few news stories. Why don't we do the top five stories in Early Bird? Well, you know what? I say that, and then I'm not going to see something that I should see. But anyway, I got up late, so forgive me for this. But Stars and Stripes. Above the fold headline is U.S. troops leaving Syria to move to Iraq and Kuwait. Unassing Syria. All right. Russia patrols between the Turks and the Syrian forces. So, there you have it. Those are headlines in Stars and Stripes. United States Naval Institute News, which I'm a fan of. Email, Mac, you're not at all interested, I see, in the controversies around the president. Now the impeachment stuff, two groups of liars, man. Like, so you want to get involved in two groups in between, or translating what two groups of liars put out? You know, it's disgusting in my opinion. Nothing that I would share with you in USNI News. How about Marine Corps Times? Marine Corps Times was pretty desolate yesterday. Remember, it is the, it was a holiday weekend for the DOD. That's right. That's the top five stories in Early Bird. Excuse me. Marine Corps Times. Same exact story. Amazing. Here's a headline for you. The National Bureau of Economic Research has released a study finding that that combat exposure increases the risk of opioid and heroin addiction. Nice. Again, you want to know why they go there looking for that? Because they've lost their way, and the endurance treatment doesn't fucking work. Story yesterday a soldier that was wounded when he went out to search for Bo Bergdahl died yesterday. 46-year-old Master Sergeant Mark Allen of Loganville, Georgia, died Saturday. He died of complications of an injury sustained while serving in Afghanistan. There's a picture of he and his wife and their daughter. Allen was shot during an insurgent ambush in 2009. He was left unable to speak and paralyzed over much of his body. He spent 21 years in the Army and the National Guard. Bo Bergdahl, what a piece of shit. Top five stories in Early Bird today. Yeah, there's not too many stories piss me off more than the Bo Bergdahl story. Number one, U.S. forces scramble for Syria exit as Trump announces sanctions on Turkey. Again, the gong show that exists on the east side of the Potomac now has spread to the Pentagon. As the president, right, does stupid shit. Number two, the end of an era. 60,000 strong U.S.-trained SDF partner force crumbles in a week under heavy Turkish assault. Number three, Esper to lobby NATO for tough Turkey punishment. Number four, combat troops at high risk for opioid, heroin addiction, study says. Number five, Army Secretary, congressional budget delays give our enemies an advantage. All right, now, headlines on Syria. Okay, that would be Turkey and Syria. U.S. Congress mulls arms export ban to Turkey for incursion into Syria. Why are we still treating Turkey as a friend, right? Pretty amazing. With Turkey's invasion of Syria, concerns mount over nukes at Incirlik. Yeah, no shit. Turkey says ongoing invasion of Syria is self-defense. Syrian army moves to confront Turkish forces as U.S. withdrawals. With the Russians in the midst of all that. Let me tell you, stand by for that. U.S. troop morale at risk amid withdrawal from northern Syria, according to the former Secretary of State, Jim Mattis. Right? Trump calls on Turkey to broker a ceasefire. Turkish-backed forces are freeing Islamic State prisoners. How about that? I'm not saying that that might have been at the top of the fold, but here you go. As Turkey wages a violent campaign against Kurdish fighters and civilians across northeastern Syria, Turkish-backed proxy forces with ties to extremist groups are deliberately releasing detainees affiliated with the Islamic State from unguarded prisons. Two different U.S. officials confirmed to Foreign Policy, which is a website and a publication. The claim pours cold water on U.S. President Donald Trump's suggestion on Twitter that the Syrian Kurdish fighters tasked with guarding the prisons released the detainees to grab U.S. attention after the Defense Department ordered all U.S. troops to evacuate the region. So, anyway, there you have it. Congratulations. The gong show on the east comes to the western side of the Potomac. All right, well, those are your news headlines. That's what's going on. More of All Marine Radio. Coming up next on your home for it. Again, it's a pretty cool interview. Ted Studdard, former artillery officer, former Stinger gunner as an enlisted Marine in the reserves. He's going to join the program. and you're going to hear from him. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More Ballman Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.